music machines by holding out. Just gives a little run through the choir there. Let's swap books. And we'll start with 15. We'll do 14 in a little bit, so that will be bad thing warm up as well. Number 15 in the Wee Black Books is How Long Has It Been? And if you're able, we'll stand. If not, you can see. Let's make a joyful noise.
Chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way for me. The Lord, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to the temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. It shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and it shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness amongst the sorcerers and amongst the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, and the widow and the fatherless. And that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that they may be meek in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open ye the windows of heaven, and pour ye out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightful land, saith the Lord of hosts. The words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? Now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, that have tempted God are delivered. And they that fear the Lord speak up one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, said the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, that I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Amen.
Some very interesting verses there. You could be reading today's newspaper when you read through some of those verses of God's word. Just a reminder, please make sure that you have one of those little prayer lists. All being well, there'll be a new one produced for Sunday morning. But does anybody have any prayer requests that they'd like everybody to pray about? Anybody got anything? No. That's good. Please pray for Pat and Steve, for Will, Christine, especially at this particular time, is having a lot of difficulty with her back and her hip. It might be sciatica, but the Lord knows. Please do pray for her and Will's granny. Pray for Colin, Pat and Steve, and don't forget Frank as well. You got to pray for your daily bread. That's pretty much. You're allowed to pray for yourself, you know. So don't forget to pray for your daily bread, the things that you need. Anybody any private prayer requests for the rest of this week? Okay. Anybody got any thanks? Go for it. Just put thanks, Norman.
Thanks for the pain of my leg.
All good. Mrs. Bradford.
It's not, it's a prayer request just to remind you that Ed Bissett starts his treatment on Monday.
Okay, Ed Bissett treatment starts Monday the
19th, is that right?
Six treatments with the BCG, a BCG wash of his bladder. So, and then a couple of weeks of a rest, and then another three, I think it is. So pray about that. Seems to be in good form. He's thanking the Lord for everything. And the church has got a good bunch of folks up there in Temple Patrick and Flatty Water. So please do remember that. A lot of people need saved, and if you see the list of folks there, people that need saved, please do pray for folks to be saved. And don't ever be backwards about telling someone the gospel. People need it everywhere. Okay, I'll have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll sing another song or two. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for being with us and watching over us. Thank you, Lord, for promising that wherever two or three are gathered together, that you will be there in the midst. We do indeed thank you, Lord, for all the many helps and blessings. We do know our private prayer requests, Lord. I pray that you would grant them according to your will. And sometimes, Lord, you can go ahead of us and fight many battles for us that we don't even know about or only see the results of. I would pray for that, Lord, for each one of us. But also, Lord, I would pray for every bit of help that we need in going forward and fighting our own battles, for strength and wisdom, for backup, Lord, for comfort, for surety. I just pray for that too. Please be with the folks that aren't here. Pray for Steve and his health at this time. Pray for your will to be done. We would love to see him back, Lord, and on his feet. We pray, Lord, for your will to be done. Please look after Frank, Lord, and Colin. We miss them. I pray, you, Father, that you would just let them know that you're there. And Father, don't be done with us. Please don't forget either, Lord, Stan and the folks in Bangor, and Ed and Joan, and the people in Temple Patrick. Pray for Glenn Wilkinson, Lord, up there in the Free Church, and Johnny Campbell in the Independent Methodist. For Johnny Crane, Lord, I just pray for a wee girl, Sarah Crane, that we haven't thought on for a while, Lord, but we pray that you would be with her and help her as well. Please be with Phil and Natalie Seeley and their family and church family over in America. And for John and Ruth Ann Asquith and the folks at Black Creek Baptist, Lord, and Monica's dad too is in ministers there as well. You know all of our families, Lord, you know who loves you and you know who doesn't even know you. And I pray, you, Lord, that those numbers would change and that more of our family members would see the difference that trusting in Christ makes. Not just in where we turn up on a Sunday, but where we go every day of our life and where we're going to spend it. Love you and thank you. We ask all these things, Lord, and of course the things that we, the requests that we have in our heart, and we thank you, Lord, for answering prayers. And we ask it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. Amen. Amen. Hi, Mrs. Bradfield, are you able to play? I think it's hymn number 14. We'd like to take and turn there. Hymn number 14 in the wee black book is How Deep the Father's Love. Hymn number 14. I'll just remain seated as we sit.
It was my sin.
to our Bibles this evening. I can just find it in here. Yep. 192, did someone pick?
What is that?
Ring the Bells of Heaven. Nope. Yeah, well, that was your pick.
Oh, it was Green Star.
Are you trying to stop me?
I thought we already sang it.
No. We did sing one that was To God Be the Glory. 192. Right, we'll do that. 192. We'll sing the rest of the anthems as well. It's always keep the best for the last. But don't tell anybody else. Hey. Well, stand as we sing, folks, if you're fit. Scripture we're unfamiliar with. We're going to be looking at or reading the Ten Commandments this evening. And the title for the message is Maybe Not Today, But Someday. Maybe Not Today, But Someday. Deuteronomy chapter 5, beginning at verse number 6. Amen. I am sure if we saw all of the battles that we had to fight to be here this evening, we would be astounded. Please pray for more victories in those things that the world of flesh and the devil sends against us. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. I shalt not make thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labour and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Honour thy father and thy mother, as the Lord God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, neither shalt thou commit adultery, neither shalt thou steal, and neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbour. Neither shalt thou desire thy neighbour's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbour's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbour's. Amen. That is our text for this evening. I will look for messages, maybe not today, but someday. Have a brief word of prayer, and then we will get going again. Heavenly Father, we pray you for your guidance and your help at this time in the service, for the words to hear and the words to speak. Father, that you would use them to make us better, make us all that we can be. Thank you for all your many helps, and remember as well all of those that stand to bring the full counsel of your word, Lord, to all those that are assembled together. Please help us today. I pray you, Father, that you would give us our daily bread and help us, Lord, as we go on from here. We love you and thank you. And we ask all of it in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. Amen. 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 I know we all know what these are called. These are called the Ten Commandments. And they comprise what is called the moral law. In other words, the bog standard set of rules that if everybody in the world observed them, wars would stop just like that. There'd be no drama and no crises. People would live together. They would treat each other right. If everybody in the world observed the Ten Commandments properly from the heart, not looking for a way to bypass them or undermine them, which many do, if they just observe them, bearing in mind that they come from God Almighty, our Creator and Savior, and He knows what works best for us. In fact, even as we read that, I was reminded of a story about a man that broke down by the side of the road in one of the, was it the Model T Ford, was one of the original cars. And he's sitting there scratching his head, obviously one of the first mobile internal combustion engines, and it wasn't like today where you could just go onto YouTube and find out what was wrong with your car. And another man pulls up and he says, are you having a little bit of difficulty? He says, the car has stopped and I don't know how to fix it. The fella hops out of the car and he says, let me have a look at it. So he rolls his sleeves up, he pulls off the engine housing, he tweaks a few things, he says, off you go, and the car starts. He says, that's absolutely amazing. And the man, it was Henry Ford, said, not too difficult when you actually invented the thing and know it inside out and backwards. And if you apply that example to this, it's not too difficult to find a set of rules that work whenever you invented the creature in the first place. A lot of people claim to follow them. and use that as a step up a ladder on their way to heaven. But nowhere in the Ten Commandments, there's only one that has a promise, and that is if you honour your mom and dad. And that the only promise there is a long life on this world, which the Lord has given you. It doesn't promise you heaven. There is not one commandment. The Bible says that if you follow it, you will go to heaven. Not one. There's only one instruction, and it's in the New Testament. It says time and time again that if you confess your sins to the Lord and believe in your heart he's raised from the dead, you'll be saved. If you ask Jesus to save you and trust him to save you, he will do it. Repenting of your sins. Does anyone remember the time that the Lord Jesus was doing what he normally did, a bit of preaching, and some of the scribes and the Pharisees came up to him and asked him, what is the greatest commandment? And the Lord said, to love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And then Jesus said, that is very good. And he said, and the next to it is to love thy neighbor as thyself. And if we read these Ten Commandments, we see the first one, two, three, four commandments are all to do with loving the Lord and having respect to God. So love the Lord with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. The next commandment is for you and I to love, to honour our parents, so that our days will be long. And the rest of it is all about loving your neighbour as yourself. There's nobody wants to have their to be lied about or stolen from or cheated on or envied or killed. I certainly don't, and I wouldn't inflict that, at least not knowingly, on anybody else. So that's quite interesting. And I know I've read the Ten Commandments hundreds of times, and that really just struck me there this evening. There's a reason these are all there, and there's a reason we need to learn them or to understand them, is because apart from, we're not like cats. By the way, I lost a cat today. I think I ran over one of my cats and killed one of my kittens. It wasn't fast enough to get out from under the weeds of the car whenever I was going somewhere. So I wouldn't like to kill somebody else's cat. I wouldn't like to kill somebody else. You wouldn't like someone else to come and kill your mother or your brother or steal from them or do any of those things. And these commandments are there to keep us right and to warn us that these are the lines upon which we can run, which everybody can run on, no matter who they are. I hope none of these things, the things that God has said you shouldn't do to others, I hope none of them happen to you. And I hope that you do treat God right in your life. I hope that you are never in a position where standing up for God and following God's commandments cost you, or that somebody's not following them costs you either. But these are all here, not just the commandments, but all of the Bible is there so that you and I can be prepared for every instance in life where you have a difficult time, a hard decision to make. And you need to know that a lot of people, not knowing what the Bible says, cause themselves a lot of trouble. Sometimes they don't even know. Sometimes it's only God that's keeping account. As I went looking for Deuteronomy 5, for some reason, I had a look at Leviticus 20. Now, I'm not going to ask you to turn there. It's all about immorality and murder. And unfortunately, most of it is accepted and promoted in this day and age. Homosexuality, adultery, fornication, and the murdering of little children. The Bible says, I think there's about 10 or 12 of God's commandments that say what we shouldn't be doing. And just in case anybody's wondering, it rules out all manner of physical relationship apart from that between a man and a woman that are married to each other. And it also rules out abortion. it says you are not to let your children pass through the fire. In other words, to burn them for prosperity and ease. And yet, we still do it. We still do it whenever women, for whatever reason, don't want their child. They will go to a clinic, they will take out the baby, and they will incinerate it. And yet we think we are so great, but because these souls are ignorant of the laws that God gives us, and of the real physical trouble that it can cause, and the deep spiritual damage that it can cause, people are quite literally marking themselves as murderers through the endless ages of eternity. In fact, even as I was reading this, I got to thinking about people who have had abortions, women that have had abortions, stepping off into eternity, and they are greeted by these people. Mom, they'll say. Dad, they'll say. And the mother and the father will say, we never had any children. And it was such a normal thing to them, they never even remembered. And then they will be told, but we are the children that you killed. God has given us our immortal bodies. We are here. We are your children. I would hate that for anybody, but that's something like that will happen. The Bible says when you keep your eyes on God and you get out of the church where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there, when you lift up your praises and make a joyful noise to God, and as Norman was reading in Malachi 3 this evening, when you put your tithes into the church, when you fellowship with good people, when you keep in touch with good people, and you cultivate an attitude of learning, when you are prepared to open your Bible, and when it says something that applies to you, you are willing to adopt it, you are on the winning path. And I don't mean the straight and the narrow path. I mean the winning path. You are telling God with that attitude and with that teachable heart, God, I can go further than where I am. I can do more than I'm doing right now. Would you teach me? Would you show me? And do you know what God says? If you're ever stuck, if any man wants wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. God wants his kids like smart kids. Not smart and smart aleck kids, but smart. We should ask questions and learn. Don't be afraid to admit that you're wrong, because that's like a 3-year-old saying to their dad, Daddy, I made a mistake, I was wrong. Daddy's not going to take a 2x4 and crush their skull. He's going to say, well, this is what is right. This is what you do in the future. Now, I know that there are over 600 commandments in the Bible. And I know as well that if I was to challenge any one of us up here to say even the 10 commandments, we would probably forget one. At least one. And I have done so many times. It's just about impossible to keep them all going round in your head as you go through everyday life. And the Lord knows we need them, because there's so much nonsense going on in the world. But you, Christian, you saved souls. You have a promise from God that is only to save people. A promise about the Holy Spirit, who is much overlooked in modern Christianity, that when we need it, the Holy Spirit will remind you of things that you've read in the Bible, and will teach you about the things that you've read in the Bible. Put all the bits of the Bible from here and there together, just like he did for me. 58 years old, 59 this coming year, and I just for the first time seen what Jesus was talking about to that scribe and Pharisee. If you're willing to learn, so that you can make the right decision the next time it comes around. and even say the right words the next time it comes around. That other comforter. Remember what Jesus said. I'm sure the disciples and the apostles, they wanted Jesus to stay with them. They wanted him to sit on the throne of Jerusalem and rule the world. They thought that's what he was coming to do. He is coming to do that soon, but he was coming back to give his life on the cross of Calvary back then. That other comforter whom the Lord will send, the Holy Spirit, will bring all things to your remembrance, and he will teach you all things. And when you're delivered up, the Bible says, take no thought how or what you shall say, for in that same hour it will be given to you what you shall say, and it will not be you that speaks, it will be the Holy Spirit. It is absolutely amazing when you're in conversation and when someone brings something up like abortion, and that the Lord will remind you about the god Molech of the Amorites or the Ammonites, who used to do exactly the same thing, only they did it the safe way. They took children that were born. We just ripped them out of their mother's womb and caused so many problems. And then we burn them. The Holy Spirit will remind you of that. Or will remind you about drinking or immorality or lying and cheating and stealing and always being envious of what other people have. The Holy Spirit will remind you of those things when you need them. The only other time you're going to hear from them is here in church. Because where in the world, where in even our own country, are the Ten Commandments being promoted? Not in schools anymore. They'd nearly have a fit if you were seen carrying a Bible. You might be labelled as a domestic terrorist. Certainly not in the courts of the law. I know in America, many courts, they demanded they take the Ten Commandments down because they made the judge feel bad. Because he might have been sitting with his robes on and the master of all these surveys and about a square acre of ground, but in the grand scheme of things, the commandments mark him as guilty too, and the police, and the clerks, and the criminals as well. You might only hear about these things in church, but you will experience them many times out in the world. You will see them on TV and in the films. You might, if you're in the wrong place, you might even see sin hard at work in people's lives when they're out in company. And when you do, know this, child of the King of Kings, that if verses of Scripture come to your mind, that is the Holy Spirit tapping you on the shoulder and saying, remember, Mark, that's what the Bible says. This is what people are doing. Do you really need to be here? Or should you not say something about that? Whatever, the Lord will give you wisdom. I hope you don't come across them. I hope you never have to use them. But the odds are that's not going to happen in this day and age. They're here, maybe not for today, but someday we will need them. As well as assurance, comfort in our hearts that you're right. Did I make the right decision in getting saved? Did I make the right decision in trusting in Christ as my Savior? How do I know God is who he says he is when there are so many naysayers? Well, the thing that nearly destroyed me as a young man is the thing that keeps me as a Christian. And that is fortune telling. Not fortune telling, prophecy. What Norman was reading in Malachi, which was written over nearly 2,500 years ago, might as well have been written today. Things about the way people treat churches and the way people are going up in this world today. These things are there so that we can lean on them. Maybe we don't need them every day, but there will come days when we need to lean on the prophecy in God's word and say, even when everything is coming against us, and you can say, Lord, you said this persecution, this opposition was going to happen. And I am thankful I read it in your book. You also said about Israel becoming a nation. And that happened 75 years ago. I don't remember. You said about the weapons of warfare being the way they are, that they could wipe out the whole world. That's only 50 years ago or 60 years ago. Technically, that's within my lifetime. I am glad that the prophecy of the Word of God is in this book. This book that was saved by the blood of Christ and His promises that it would always be here, and it is drenched in the blood of martyrs, of believers. Because believe it or not, friends, up until about 300-400 years ago, it was a crime to own an English Bible or a Bible that wasn't printed in Latin. The Catholic Church, and indeed the Protestant Church, didn't want the Bible available to the common man. Because once you read the Bible, you see the Catholic Church's teachings are a lie. Many of the Protestant teachings are a lie as well, because they come from the Catholic Church. God said the Bible would be heard across the world before He came back, and we have had it for a couple of hundred years. It's the Word of God. Remember what Peter said? Where else are we going to go, Lord? These, you have the words of eternal life. And it's not an ordinary book. We're not dealing with ordinary. We're dealing with a supernaturally preserved, divinely inspired and imparted words of God to mortal man, which were finished 2,000 years ago and are telling us what's going on today. And we can literally see it. With God's promises, apart from the prophecy to you and I, about the peace that being saved will bring to you, about the direction that following God's word will give to you, about it making you a new creature, one that wants to please God instead of self. You look around you tonight, people that are down on the Strand Road just taking enough alcohol to work up the bravery to blame the alcohol for their bad behaviour for the rest of the night. That is nuts. I saw that for 7 years. I worked in a hotel bar for 7 years. I have seen what alcohol will do to people. And the things it gets blamed for. When I became a new creature in Christ, I was glad to finally have an excuse for not drinking, instead of not being like one of those fools that can be so easily rolled out in the street for everything that they have on them. You have God's promises to you personally, that your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that God Himself will send angels to minister to you, that He will never leave you, nor forsake you, nor cast you out, that instead of being a hell-bound sinner, you are a heaven-bound sinner. Instead, as we were reading in Revelation chapter 20, instead of being naked in trespass and sin in front of the great white throne of judgment, you will have robes of righteousness provided by God Himself to cover you. Instead of eternal torment, you have peace. You will have peace. And you can have a wee taste of that now to go to heaven in. And all of these things, most likely only ever hear of in the mornings and evenings you spent in church, and whatever time outside of that you spent in God's Word, or on your knees in prayer. It's not for a bit of crack. And it's not to show you how well read I am in the Bible. And I'm not that well read in the Bible. It's to build us up. It's to prepare us. It's to let us know ahead of time. So that someday, whenever we're wandering about out in the world, whatever the occasion, whether we're in the company of others, or even if we're by ourselves, that we have the knowledge and the reason. I think they call that wisdom. Knowledge by itself is not wisdom. That we have the wisdom to make the right decision, the godly, and the righteous decision. And not worry what everybody else is thinking. The only people that need to worry about what everybody else is thinking is people whose lives are spent on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. The world around us can do whatever it likes. But we, as Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. We have the promise of God that whenever you need Him, He'll be there. And I pray you don't need these things, any of God's teachings between here and home tonight. I really do. But you might need them before you go home tonight and put your head in a pillow. You might be at your wit's end. You might have some bad phone call. You might have a bad interaction with somebody, or the devil will try to tempt you with some stray thought. I pray you don't. But you might. But someday you will. Someday you're going to meet God. You stick there with God and be forewarned and be forearmed, and then you'll be ready. So that some way you'll be able to resist it, go over it, around it, through it, and be victorious on the other side. You'll have the right words to say, the right actions to take, and know beyond any uncertainty that you did the right thing. And you know what? That's what people are spending years and fortune trying to find out, and God gives it away for free. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't already know, in which case I'm going to remind you, that pleasing God was the reason man was made. That was it. To please God. And God is such a loving and generous Father. But we're going to be spending forever with Him. Might as well get a bit of practice in here and now. We're going to be spent in the whole of eternity. And God wants us to have victorious lives. That doesn't mean we stand on top of a pile of dead bodies. Although I'm sure we could probably pick out a few people that we would could do with pushing up daisies. But as we're only officers of the church, not of the country, and that is not our purview. The greatest victories that we will have will be the ones we have over ourselves, and then the ones that lead the souls being saved. God wants us to have those joys, those victories, those steps ahead in our life. Those things please God. Over the years, I have found that ladies tend to like decorative things when they get a gift. Tend to. And men tend to like functional things. So whether it looks good or it acts good, I don't even think that's right English. I always like or have enjoyed over the years when I have visited with people to whom I have passed on gifts that I have seen them in their house. In the case of ladies, or in the case of men, that I have seen the things being used, or when I do see them, they're scuffed and they're scratched and they're dirty, which means they have been useful. And those are the things that God gives to us in His Word. No matter where we are or what we do, we can do it the best way possible. Or as Jesus said, in the hopes that men will see the way we do things, our good works, and glorify our Father which is in heaven. We'll never need them all the time, and hopefully we'll not need them today. Someday you will. So keep reading. Keep stirring, keep reading the codes. Keep reminding yourself of all the things that God has for you. God bless you. I think there's one hymn left, and then we are finished. 312. Open my eyes that I may see. Hymn number 312 from the Big Works. Open my eyes that I may see. Your faithful sound. for your faithfulness and your desire to be here. Please don't remember. Don't forget our prayer requests and private prayer requests. And don't forget when the Holy Spirit's tapping you on the shoulder about something for a reason. They do us all good to listen a bit. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads and we'll dismiss the Holy Prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us and watching over us. Please bless us as we head home. And let us be mindful of whenever it is you're drawing our attention to something. Please be with absent brethren. Please be with those souls that have heard the gospel and have heard, and they're dealing with the challenges of salvation and the temptations of the devil. I pray you too for that person that contacted the church about coming to church, Lord, that you would give them that opportunity again, draw them out, sound the gospel. And Lord, for all the tracts, for all the words, for all the efforts that have gone out there, Lord, please don't let it be in vain. We know your word will not be currently avoided, but we would like for it to work out in the same soul. But Lord, we pray for your work to be done. Please see us safely home, Father, and back at the next appointed time. Guide our hands, and we love you and praise you, Father. Amen. Amen, folks. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit. We are dismissed.